I'm a grateful believer in God's grace to heal the broken. I'm in recovery for a lifetime of alcohol and drug abuse, and my name is Van. Amen. They have asked me to teach a lesson on sponsor, and I'm not a teacher. I used to be so broken by drugs and alcohol that I remember one time I walked into a McDonald's. I wanted to get a $2 burger, and they threw me out. They said, "You're bothering the customers." I mean, I was like, I smelled as bad as any guy on the bus stop. I lived in a bush. I wasn't welcome anywhere. And as a broken sinner saved by grace, to be invited anywhere is amazing to me. When Jack asked me to teach this lesson on sponsor, I thought, well, I'm hardly qualified, but I have a sponsor, and I sponsor guys. So there's a lot of good stuff. I'm going to try and go slow because I probably have too many notes, and they're probably not in order, so be patient with me. But a couple of weeks ago, Ron taught the lesson. Oh, I want to point out that I freaked out a little bit because usually there's an acrostic, and you fill in answers, but there is no acrostic this week. And I see the handout with fill in blanks, and I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I don't even know the answers to those. But so there's not an acrostic, but there's some really good material, so I want to cover that. 2 weeks ago, we talked about having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, which we found when we turned our life and our will over to the care of God. That, of course, is third step stuff. Ron did a great job with that lesson. In fact, I really like the God can, like I can't and God can. So if you have a big problem at work with a coworker or finances, you write it down and put it in the God can. I just thought that was brilliant. In this lesson on sponsor, we will see the recovery road is not meant to be walked alone. And I know a lot of guys that try and do it that way, but it's not meant to be that way. We can't admit our faults to ourselves and God and another person without another person present. A little later, we'll talk about sponsor qualities and the differences between a sponsor and an accountability partner. But once again, I have a sponsor, and I utilize him, and I sponsor a few guys, and it's not meant to be walked alone, this recovery road. There's three points that I want to point out. One is our relationship with Christ. These are three relationships. One is our relationship with Christ. Two is our relationship with our church family and our recovery groups. And three is our relationship with our accountability partner or our sponsor. Identifying accountability partners and finding a sponsor is paramount or necessary when beginning principle four. And I know there's some slides coming up at certain times, but thank you. Openly examine and confess my faults to myself, to God, and to someone I trust. And the scripture goes with that. Happy are the pure in heart, Matthew 5:8. Okay. And the first, getting through principle four is all about getting rid of the tooth decay and coming clean. You know, that trash we carry around that gets super heavy at times. Proverbs 15:14 says, a wise person is hungry for the truth while the fool feeds on trash. We really need a mentor or a sponsor to help us identify that bag of rocks and help us get rid of them. Why do I need a sponsor or an accountability partner? The first answer and best answer, of course, is that it's biblical. God works through people. And I know there's some slides that come up here too. Just want to get through the scriptures real quick. Two are better off than one because together they can work more effectively. If one of them falls down, the other can help them up. But if someone is alone, there is no one to help him. Two men can resist an attack that would defeat one man. Ecclesiastes 4:9-12. First of all, a sponsor needs to tell you when you're full of beans. And they need to be strong enough to tell you that. The first key is helping us maintain an honest view of reality. I have yet to see this program fail for somebody who could be completely honest with themselves about their situation. I have, however, seen it fail when somebody gives up on their recovery because they could not step out of their denial and into God's truth. The second key element is making effort to your recovery a priority. It's another thing a sponsor and accountability partner can help. If they don't see you around for a while, they can call you and say, where have you been? They can check on you. It's fine to take a break once in a while, but remember, your hurts, habits, and hang-ups don't ever take a vacation. We must have a routine. Attendance is a big part of that. And there's another couple of great scriptures. Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so does one man sharpen the countenance of another. And I also like, I just put this one in because to me it goes with that one. Proverbs 17:17, a friend loves at all times and a brother is born for adversity. So we're going to talk a little bit about the qualities of a sponsor. And I want to throw in one scripture that I just think is fantastic. This is Ecclesiastes 7:5. It's better to be criticized by a wise person than to be praised by a fool. And we've all heard we're only as sick as our secrets. So as we're getting to do step 4 and 5, you obviously need somebody to read those two in step 5. You also need somebody to help guide you through writing your 4th step. And your sponsor and accountability partners are your best guard against relapse as well. They can provide feedback to keep you on track. They can see our old dysfunctional self-defeating patterns beginning to surface and point them out to us quickly. They can confront us with the truth in love without placing shame and guilt. And the trouble is, most of us would rather be ruined with praise than saved by criticism. And once again, that Ecclesiastes 7:5 is just spectacular. It's better to be criticized by a wise person than to be praised by a fool. But it's our job to take that when we know it's given in love. And our sponsor should never judge us. How could he? You know what I'm saying? If you're like me and you've been saved by grace that you don't deserve, how could you ever judge somebody else when you've been forgiven for that? All right, so there's 8 points to the role of a sponsor, or I'm sorry, to the qualities of a sponsor. 1, their walk matches their talk. 2, they're growing in the relationship with Christ. 3, they express a desire to help others down the road to recovery. 4, they show compassion, care, and hope, but not pity. 5, they need to be a good listener. Now, this one's kind of funny because this was a big weak part of mine. My wife may tell you it still is, but a couple of the guys, it's true. I used to not listen to anybody because, of course, what I had to say next was way more important than anything they had to say. But one of the guys I sponsor who's watched me over the last few years has told me that I've become a much better listener, and that's a huge compliment. I mean, it's good to even be told by sponsees that you're growing in your walk with Christ as well. A sponsor should be strong enough to tell us when we're full of beans, as I like to put it. They can offer suggestions, and they can share their own current struggles with others. All right, so the role of a sponsor, and this is where I may get a little confused, but the role of a sponsor, there are 6 things that a sponsor can do. They can be there to discuss issues in detail that are too personal or we take up way too much time in a meeting. In other words, in our groups where we get 3 to 5 minutes each, you can't really have a conversation with somebody. And the other thing is, and if you don't hear anything else I say tonight, when someone asks you to be their sponsor, it is such an honor and a privilege, because they're really basically asking you to witness their life. They're hiring you to watch their life and giving you permission to give them input. That can't be taken lightly. So a sponsor needs to be strong enough or honest enough, like I said, to tell you when you're full of beans without judging. Be there to discuss issues in detail that take too much time in a meeting. Available at times of crisis or potential relapse. And they will take your time, sponsees will, but you got to be willing to give the time when they need you. They serve as a sounding board by providing an objective point of view. They're there to encourage you with the principles. They're there to shove you when you're not a little bit in love, when you're not getting things done. Most important, they attempt to model the lifestyle that reports from working with the 8 principles. And it says here, a sponsor can resign or be fired. So just so you know, you don't have to have the same person forever. but I would pray about it before I ever fired somebody, and vice versa. And I know I'm going to skip some slides, but how do I find a sponsor or accountability partner? First of all, they must be of the same sex. That should be obvious and need no explanation. But males have to work with males, and females have to work with females. And the way you find them, of course, is you come to groups, you listen to testimonies, and see who you can identify with. I've already said they must be a good listener. Don't talk to Amy about that. I promise I can listen at times when it's important, and they must seek God for advice themselves. The biggest difference between a sponsor and an accountability partner is your sponsor is ahead of you on this walk, and your accountability partner is walking beside you, sort of at the same pace, sort of with you. Might be a little ahead or behind, but they're pretty much your peers, where a sponsor is ahead of you on this walk. I thought it was kind of cool the way they put it. They said your accountability partners are on your team, your sponsor's the coach. And I thought that made sense. And there's a big, long list here, but most importantly, ask God to lead you to a sponsor, an accountability partner of his choosing, because once again, we are trusting God to work through people. We've gone over some of the great scriptures. It's biblical, and God, they're really, a person when he asks you to sponsor him is trusting that God's going to work with you. And that's one of the reasons when I'm asked to sponsor somebody, I don't always just say yes. I sometimes say, let's pray about it. I'll consider it. Vice versa, if somebody asks me something that's very important, I might go to prayer as well because they're trusting me. They're trusting God to work through me, and that's a huge responsibility. So once again, the accountability partners are walking with you. They're your teammates. The sponsor's your coach. And I'll just say this again. I didn't want to forget this. Once again, if someone asks you to sponsor you, it's an honor and a privilege. They're basically hiring you to witness their life. In a very real way, they are trusting that God will work through you. You should not just say yes automatically. It should be prayerfully considered. It will take some of your time. They will entrust you with their deepest, darkest secrets. You will have to take some of their questions to God and pray yourself. You will not give them your opinions. You will ask God for wisdom and discernment as well. And that's another thing. If you ask questions in a group setting, you might get five different answers. When you ask your sponsor, you're counting on him or hoping that God's going to work through him, that he'll prayerfully consider it. And I probably didn't take the 20 minutes, but that's about all I got. Thank you.